Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
The Bible's in 2 Thessalonians. We're gonna go there again today. 2 Thessalonians, there's just three chapters here in Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And I mentioned this last week that probably the beginning part of somewhere, I think, during 2021, I believe, I might be wrong, it might have been 22, I preached a series on 1 Thessalonians called Undaunted. And for me personally, it helped me. And I believe that it helped a lot of us coming out of the pandemic in that period of time, and get us moving forward. And but felt like didn't know until last Sunday if this would be that I would go through the whole this entirety of this book, but I will. So it's just probably just preaching a sermon per chapter. With that, it might change, of course, but that's what the plan has been for just these three parts of this message. Now, this letter written by the Apostle Paul, the second letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of Thessalonians, Church of Thessalonica, the Thessalonian Church, was written in AD 51. So that's less than 2,000 years ago, AD 51. This is the first century church. This is a church that, just remember, they had just come to Jesus. This is a young church. They've been through a lot. They've been through persecution. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, he's addressing them in their new birth as a church and the challenges regarding that. And he commended them for being a strong young church. And he always does this. This church has a lot of commendation for how they have stood despite all the pressures that have come against them. In a world that this preaching of Jesus was new to many of those people in that part of the world, and so it's just incredible to when you read that. And if you'll think about when it's being written and who it's being written to, it'll help us. I want you to understand that though it was written in AD 51. This letter was, and it had come right on the heels of the first letter because of concern that the Apostle Paul had for this young church. Although it was written then, the Word of God has application for us in 2023. The Word of God is forever relevant. Dr. David Cooper preached a sermon, and we spoke of it this week. I heard it in probably 1990 or 91, I'm thinking, that he preached a message called The Bible, God's Word for Our Times. And God's Word is for our times. It is the reason it is effective right now is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guided the Apostle Paul as he penned these words. They were given the Paul said to Timothy, he said, "These the word of God was given by inspiration of God. It was breathed by God." Peter said, "Holy men of God moved along by the Holy Spirit penned the scriptures." And so they are trustworthy today and they're effective in our life this morning. And this is why the church is not out of date. The word of God is not out of date. There is no expiration. In fact, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God shall always remain. No expiration date on this book and God's word. Last week, in talking about chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul is addressing the fact that this Thessalonican church had been facing persecution, and he encouraged them to endure, not quit, not give up. Much of what he spent in his first letter to them, he's still concerned with the persecution, and so he is, as they face this persecution, he's saying, "I want to encourage you to endure. In chapter 3 of this second letter, they're facing temptation, and he's exhorting the early church and how they need to live and the temptations that come along with living. And so we'll address that in a later message. But remember, chapter 1, they were facing persecution. Would you say that with me? Chapter 1, they're facing persecution. Chapter 3, they're facing temptation. Would you say that with me? Chapter 3, we're facing temptation. Chapter 2, they are facing deception. Say that with me. Chapter 2, they're facing deception. That's what we find here. And he gives an explanation of some end time events, some more details regarding that, because the deception that they're dealing with has to do with the coming of the Lord. Okay, so I want us to know that. That's what we're dealing with in chapter 2. And it's the reality of the world in which we live in today, where we want to make sure that we are steadfast in 2023 in our following of Christ. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read it on the screen here with you from the New King James Version of the Scriptures, and I'll just stand to the side here. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul said, "I taught you when I was there with you, when I first came, and I was there with you for those several weeks." He was not there for a long time, but just a few Sabbaths, a few weeks, he was there. "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This morning, I want to share with you these words: stand unshaken. Stand unshaken. Here in this passage of Scripture, we find that the Apostle Paul has identified the deception. He's identified the fact that there have been false teachers who have come into the church and have at least convinced some that the day of the Lord had already come, that somehow that hope that they had for their future had somehow they had missed some things there. And we noted it last week. Verse 2 lets us know, also in chapter 3, toward the end of the chapter, he really emphasizes and says that by my own handwriting, I have written this. I want you to notice my handwriting. This came from me, because in chapter 2, verse 2, there's an indication that somebody has falsified a letter and made it as if Paul had written. So there's been somebody who has sought to deceive them by saying Paul wrote this. He said, no, I want y'all need to pay a close attention to my own handwriting. I didn't write that. And so you're dealing with deceiving people that had, but were also proclaiming to be right in every way. They were no doubt proclaiming to be telling the truth. And so deception is exactly that. It's deceiving. And deception always sounds good at first glance. It sounds good. That's why it's so deceiving. We certainly see today, a lot of people say, they use the scripture. Well, guess what? Satan himself used scriptures. He used scriptures as well. We see it throughout the word. He'll manipulate it. He'll just shift it a little bit and get it off and try to deceive folks. We see it all the way back in the Garden of Eden, how the enemy seeks to deceive. And he would say, hath God said? Has he not said this or that? And he'll try to manipulate it and use it for his purposes. And so that's why it's important for us to know the word, to be so familiar with the word. And I'm gonna go ahead and say this: don't just be familiar with your favorite author, because we've got everything that I say as a preacher or somebody writes as an author. We've got to measure that against the word of God. And so there's a lot of well-meaning people, and just as I'm well-meaning today, but I'm the Word of God is infallible, but I'm fallible. Would anybody say, "Amen"? I knew it, preacher. I knew it. Listen, I'm fallible. What I say is I could say it wrongly. There might be something I misunderstand. And so, but I want you to know my heart today is to get it right. Do you understand what I'm getting at? That's my heart. And so we're growing. I don't want to ever communicate to you as I really push you towards spiritual growth that somehow I'm not in need of growth. No. As long as you've heard me say it a million times, but as long as I'm in this skin suit up here, I need to be maturing spiritually. You understand? That's one of the reasons why I think it's been so healthy for us as the church to have a pastoral staff that also where I get to be ministered to. Does that make sense to you? That I'm ministered to as well. And so I just want to make that clear to you. But it should be all of our desire to correctly understand the scriptures. Preachers preach different ways, and we have, people might call it styles, but it's really just we're different people. There's different personalities, and there's different ways to communicate. And for me, I walk, and I use my hands, and I don't like to use a handheld mic. I like to use a lapel where I can use both hands, and I'm demonstrative and loud, and I've had people tell me that before, but I can't help it, y'all. I'm just who I am. I sing loud. I talk loud. You ought to be at our dinner table. All of us talk loud and at the same time. And these daughters-in-law that have been added to the family in the last few years, they've just had to get used to it. Because it's a little bit different. But I can understand everybody at the table, or you just pick one. So, but again, I don't want to, we're not trying to put on any airs of any kind, but what we want to do is I'm trying to echo the text today. So in my preaching, I just want to echo what the scripture is saying. I may not get into everything that somebody might would get into in a passage like today, but as I read that, there was things that have leapt out at me that I feel like is for as a pastor that I need to share out of this. And so there was a deception going on concerning the day of the Lord, concerning the coming of Christ. It's translated also the day of Christ, but the day of His coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me declare to you that Jesus is coming back. Would you say amen to that? There's many people that will have differences of opinion, how, when, where, what all that looks like. But all I want to tell you is the Bible says a lot. It says a lot about it. And we need to believe the book over anything. But also to understand that we don't fully understand everything about it. But what I want you to understand is that He's going to come back in the clouds of glory one day. And you want to be right with Jesus when He comes back. That's what we need to make sure of, because you've got to be right. When he returns in His timing, whenever that is, you want to be right with Jesus. And no man knows the day nor the hour. We can understand some seasons. We can understand some things about what's going on in the last days. But at the end of the day, you don't want to miss out when He comes and not be found right with Him. You don't want to miss that. And as the pastor, I would hate for you not to join me in heaven when we're going. You know what's on top of that? I would hate for you to get to heaven and not see me. Hey, that's serious stuff. Because I'm afraid sometimes that might be the case. Because there will be many in that day who will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in Your name? Didn't we have miracles happen in My ministry?" And He'll say, "Depart from Me, for I never knew you." That's a tough word. That's straight out of the mouth of Jesus. He said that. Now, so they have been told here that some of them were believing that somehow they had missed it, that the day of the Lord had already come, or these things were already had unfolded or began to unfold here. And so Paul is telling them, no, that's not the case. He said a couple of things. He said that the great apostasy has not happened yet. In fact, he said a great apostasy will have to happen, and the man of sin or the man of lawlessness we know as the Antichrist has not been revealed yet. He said he'll be the great apostasy, the great falling away. What does that mean? It is the great falling away of professing Christians. That word apostasy there speaks to a Lucifer's fall. It's not just some minor thing. It's a major thing where professing Christians fall away from the truth. They are leaving the faith. And it appears to be not just a singular thing, but a thing where many this is happening to. Not there's always someone who's backslidden. There's always someone that has went off. But this is a major happening in the world, it would appear. And then that the man of sin, the Antichrist, we know in different parts of the scripture and the language tells us a man of lawlessness will be revealed. Now, in 1 John, the scriptures tell us about the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit is already in the world. It was in the world in the first century. Even so, the more we see the spirit of the Antichrist that is in our world today, that is anti-Jesus, is anti what the Word of God, is anti what our Lord thinks about things. It's anti the person of Christ. We see this all around, but it's a spirit. But in the last days, there will be a person who is the Antichrist. And it gives us details about how he'll present himself as God, even setting himself up in the temple in those last days. And it's saying there that he's going to be revealed before the day of Christ. That's just what it says as I echo that text today. Now, in the second verse of chapter 2 here, it says, that don't be shaken, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He's saying don't be shaken by these deceiving words. Don't be shaken. And I want to say, and just to really just kind of push out a little further, because in a day like we're in, with the war that's going on in the Middle East and the rumors of expanded war in the Middle East, there's you can get on YouTube and in seconds have all kinds of information and opinions about what is happening, where we are on the end time charts and timetable, as we might say. And so if we're not careful, we might hear some things that are outside of Scripture that the Scripture's not clearly defining, that can shake some people and bring fearfulness. But what I want us to understand today, that is the purpose of Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is for us to be unshaken and for us to be able to stand, for us to be able to stand with confidence, for us to be able to stand and be encouraged, for us to have solid footing, that you and I are not somehow just wrought under the pressure and fear fear of this world, that man will try to bring fear into your life and all the other things that will be added to that from a draft that possibly might could happen in our times. We don't know what will happen in the course of human events. So many things have happened throughout history, and there's been, but I know, all I know is this: one day is going to come, but what I want to say is nothing is going to happen outside the divine plan of God. It says here that there's a restrainer that'll be restraining from these days happening. And there's debate among scholarship at exactly who's holding back these events happening until the appointed time. But what I want you to know is this, that God is in charge. When you see restrainer, you know that there's a sovereign God who's in charge. And when he gets ready to let everything loose, you can count on it. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord and the things that happen in these last days will happen under his authority. Don't you think that a world ruler is in control of everything? God is in control. Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you can trust Jesus, and he is going to return. And as the people of God, if you are the blood bought, the saints of the redeemed, you don't have to fear today. You don't have to fear, but you need to stand true. And I want to tell you, in every age since the first century, it has been required of disciples of Jesus Christ to sometimes go through persecution, to sometimes suffer affliction. That's happening at every point in time in history. All we got to do is go and just study it a little bit, and we'll find that people have suffered physically in the past for their stand for Jesus. I'm telling you, we might face persecution, but endure. And in this age of deception that we are in now and have been, even in this first century, even now, You can be confident, and you don't have to be shaken, but you can stand firm in Christ. Yes, in 7 he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The spirit, the Antichrist, is already at work in this world. But there is coming an unprecedented time that you and I can stand firm. So Paul was alarmed at the church being alarmed a little bit. And when I say alarmed, I'm not talking about in a negative way. But the people were shaken. And so it set off an alarm for the Apostle Paul that he needed to write this second letter to check on them, lest they be deceived and led astray in some way. And because he wants them to be able to stand steadfast. We get down to the latter part of this book, in chapter 2 rather, he talks about us standing. He talks about in verse 15, he said, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Paul is concerned about the waters crashing and sweeping people out to sea. I was watching one of those, I'm trying to think what the name of the program is. It's like they're out deep sea fishing, and it's dangerous out there. They're catching crabs. I'm sitting there thinking, these guys, it's a wonder more of those guys aren't killed. I think it's Deadly Catch or something like that. Well, you got to be holding on to something, lest you get in trouble. We went whale watching back in June. We went on vacation, and we was off the coast there of Washington State, and they took us all the way up off the coastline of part of Canada to find the whales where we could watch them. This boat, I would say probably would carry about 100 people, I'm thinking, something in that way. And so when you whale watch, never done this before, but we were there. And so what they would say is when we get a particular area, they'd tell everybody to be watching. And then they would get to an area where they think they may have seen signs of whales kind of rolling there. You see their tails and their hump come up out of the water, and they would be, they'd say 12 o'clock. So that's how they, so you look 12 o'clock. And people would be running around this boat. They'd say 6 o'clock. They was running everywhere. And I did it too. You go that far, I want to see a whale. But y'all almost didn't have a pastor. It happened so fast. I'm standing there, and I'm standing next to Josh and Jess and out of nowhere, you know how waves can do, and you out in the water like this. I like to went over that rail and tried to take Josh with me. But the only thing, this is done in seconds. Now, I mean nanoseconds. I just had to sit my whole weight down. Do you get what I'm here? I'm about to go out, so I've just got to pop my legs out and go down on my bottom. It was one of them deals where I was being lifted. You see, the thing is, the Apostle Paul's concerned with a people that can be washed out to sea spiritually, being deceived. And he's saying to them, no, I don't want you to be shaken. I want you to have stability. I want you to be unshaken, because the waves that are crashing, the wind that is swirling in our days, can easily cause someone to lose their footing and knock them out of the boat if they're not careful. And he's saying, no, I want you to stand fast. I want you to have steadiness of foot. And so if you're going to do that, you've got to hold on to some stuff. There's some right things to be held to. And for me, controlling my own body weight by required me letting go and sitting myself down. And I want to tell you, we live in a world today that if you're going to be found right with the Lord, you're going to have to sit yourself down on God's word. You're going to have to quit trying to maintain your own stability by your figuring out everything. And I'm going to watch the news and just navigate today with this. I've got to cling to the word of the living God. And there are just a few things I believe he shares with us in this passage that you and I need to be sitting our weight down upon. And we'll look at these things in these verses, and beginning with verse 13, And I just want to just mention them, and you can mark them in your Bible or write them in some notes here. But I love the fact that in 13, he says, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And I want to just tell you today that you need to rest yourself and settle yourself down on the love of God. When here he calls them brethren, and the love of God is paramount, and that will steady you, that will bring stability to you when you start saying, God loves me. And I'm not talking about just he loves everybody in the world. God does. For God so loved the world that he gave. But there's this love by which he has come to me. He has come to me and he has rescued me individually and corporately as a church. And we become part of the church. The ecclesia of God, which means, church means called out ones. And so God loves us. He first loved us and then requires of us to love him and accept him and receive him. So not just a general love, a general love of God, but the fact that he loves me, he loves you, and that love will bring stability. You need to let go of Josh and settle yourself down. And quit trying to manipulate your own legs and your own way of hanging on to the stuff of this world and just settle down in him. Not only that, he says here, verse 13 again, he talks about how that he's chosen us. He's chosen us, and that really speaks to their biblical doctrine, the election of God, how God has chosen us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And what sometimes we'll just skip right past this, but all I want you to see is this. You and I must accept him. We must accept the call of God. But if the Holy Spirit does not ever convict us of our sins, we couldn't get right. Therefore, that's what that means. When we're talking about the election of God from the foundation of the world, he has come to present to me his calling upon my life, and he has chosen me out, and I don't have to know everything. If I know everything about God, he's not God. I don't know everything. All I know is I couldn't be saved if he hadn't have found me. Man can't find him alone, but you and I are to carry the glorious gospel to the world because he knows. And we need to be in his hand, but he said there, he chose you. So we need to sit down in the fact that we received his call and we've been chosen. We've been loved by him. We'll just keep on going with that theme as we look here in verse 13. I done flipped pages. He says that he's chosen us to salvation. He saved us. We can't brag and boast about our own selves. He chose us. He called us out. He saved us. I just want you to just underline that. And he said, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. And really what that's telling us is that the Holy Spirit, he saves us, he's saving us, and we will be saved. It's a work whereby the Holy Spirit is working in our life. Again, we don't have anything to brag about here. It is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that his truth is made alive in me day by day by day, that keeps me in his care, that keeps me in his where he wants me to be. And I've got to be open to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in my life every day, because I don't belong to myself. I was bought by the price of the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God works in me each and every day to keep me. And so we can rest in that today. And in doing so, you've got to embrace the truth because we're sanctified by the word, by the truth, and His word is truth. Jesus said, we've got to cling to the written word and the word of God. Now, I want you to understand here is that he says to them, he mentions that how that we were to hold to the word of God, to the traditions, and he's really talking about the how that we're to hold to not man-made traditions, but we're to hold on to the apostles' teaching. It's the apostles' teaching we're to hold on to, whether it was spoken by the apostles or whether we read it in a letter. And that is the scriptures that we're referring to. That's what we hold in our hands today. He's saying hold to those traditions. Don't think of traditions grandma said. Think traditions the scripture said. It's scripture said. And so we're to hold to those things. And so I just want you to know this. So hold to His love. Hold to the fact that He's chosen you. Hold to the fact that He has saved you. Hold to the doctrines and teachings of the Scripture, of the Word of God that says the Holy Spirit is working on your behalf, and He works on you through and by the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ being wrought and made alive in your life. These are the things that we hold to and cling to. It is He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm not standing here today saved. I'm not standing here today sanctified because of my works. I'm here today saved and sanctified by the truth according to the workings of the Holy Spirit in my life. And when He's working in my life, then He brings me into right relationship every day, and the will of God is performed in my life. And when the will of God is being performed in my life, the work of God is being done in my life, and I'm living for Him. See, that's what. See, when we do that, we can rest when the winds of adversity are blowing. We can sit down and be steadied, and we don't have to stumble around in the strong winds of this life, and we don't have to be stumbling by every time we hear some newfangled teaching that is going on in this world, where somebody thinks they've got some little nugget somewhere. I want to tell you, this book is full of the nuggets that you need today. Cling to the Word of the living God. Cling to it. There's so much more to be said, but I want you to know you can be stable and standing, and you don't have to be shaken. So He's coming. But when you belong to Him, not arrogantly, but humbly, you recognize why you're able to stand. And it's all because of Him. Lord, I don't know. As I've tried to keep up with current events, and these particularly over these last number of weeks, a couple of weeks now, where so much is going on that would seem to be of biblical proportions, but God, at the same time, Lord, we're not judging the current events and then trying to figure out what God says. No, no, no. Lord, we lean upon the Word of God first and foremost. We're not reacting to the news because You're not going to react to the news. Lord, help us not to be reacting to the latest video somebody does. But God, may we only cling to You and rest our weight. Because, Lord, I don't want any of us to be deceived, and try just to hang on by our own efforts. But God, help us to live unshaken, standing firm in your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.